So I want to turn your attention this morning to a wonderful text. It's found in the book of Isaiah, and it's found in that 26th chapter that we just read together. And it's verse 3 and verse 4. So Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and verse 4. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. And these words, as you can see, are part of a song of triumph then, that Isaiah prophesies is going to be sung in the future. The song begins in verse 1, in that day, and I guess he's talking about our days now, isn't it, when the gospel has come, when the Lord Jesus Christ has come. In that day, says Isaiah then, this song will be sung in the land of Judah, amongst the people of God then. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. And the song goes on, it would seem, down to the end of the chapter. And it's not always easy to follow the thought there. You've seen as we've read it. But we will concentrate just on these two verses from this song. This song then for the people of God to sing in the land in the days after the exile, in the days to come. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. And you can see that the different verses, the first is a promise, and then with that promise we get a command. So let's look at those two verses very simply together then. First of all, consider this wonderful promise then, and note what it says, and then not only to note what it says, but to act upon it. So first of all, what is the promise? Well, the promise concerns perfect peace. Actually, what Isaiah writes is, peace, peace, shalom, shalom. That's the way he does it. And by that, he means then a full peace, not just peace, but peace twice over, if you like, a continuing peace, a perfect peace, as it's translated here for us. And by peace then is not just meant quietness or rest, not simply an absence of war. When the Bible talks about peace, it very often is talking about something very full, something very far-reaching, then health and prosperity, well-being. And so perfect peace is pointing to a very high quality of peace and well-being. And the promise is then that God will keep, it's addressed to God, isn't it? You will keep. So it's talking about God, that God will keep certain people then in perfect peace. Now the obvious question is, who are those people? How can I myself find perfect peace? Well, the answer to that question is here, isn't it? Many people long for peace and for prosperity in different ways. It comes out in different ways, isn't it? People express themselves in different ways, and people obviously go about things in different ways. Although it's interesting, isn't it? Most people don't claim to have found it. You won't find many people say, well, I've got perfect peace. It's a very rare thing for somebody to speak in those terms. But this promise assures us that perfect peace is possible, and it also underlines for us then that the only way to find that perfect peace is to look to God. God is the only one who can supply us with such a thing. He alone then has the power not simply to give a partial peace or a momentary peace or a measure of peace, but to give and to keep a person in that state then of perfect peace. So you can see what a wonderful promise it is, just on the face of it, isn't it? If there's anything in this at all, well, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's an amazing thing that we're talking about. Peace with God and peace from God. A perfect peace then. A peace that goes on and on and on forever. So that's the first thing. What is the promise? The promise is a promise then of being kept in perfect peace. So, very often you'll find with promises in the Bible there are conditions. So we ask then, secondly, what is the condition for enjoying this promise? What is needed in order to find this perfect peace? The promise is that God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is, and this is the word, isn't it, is steadfast. So what does that mean then? What does it mean? God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. Well, the word that's used there is really talking about a person's mind, about what he's thinking, his imagination, his calculations, every aspect of his thinking, all that goes through his mind. Now, this is the thing. His mind is thinking. It is upheld. It's supported. There's a prop under it. When you look at the man who has found perfect peace, then what you will see, if you look properly, is that his mind is a supported mind. There's a prop there. There's a something undergirding that mind. Now, it doesn't really say at first how that mind is upheld. It doesn't say how that mind is sustained. It's clearly by another, but it doesn't say then who that other one is. But I think just reading the verse is pretty clear, isn't it? Who that that other one is, who that one who is supporting the mind, who is undergirding and strengthening. We're talking about a person then who is leaning on God, isn't it? That's what we're talking about. Somebody who is putting all their weight on the Lord, who's relying on the Lord, who is leaning on God. And so the person who's in perfect peace is not the person then who is self-contained and somehow he's able then just to keep it together. And he's able. Because sometimes you see people like this and you think, oh, I wish I was like him. They always seem so serene, don't they? They always seem to sort of be rising above everything. They're able to cope and they're able to face things. And you think, well, if I had a personality like that, you know, I was that sort of person, then I could cope so much better than I actually do. But that's a mistake, isn't it? Either you're not really seeing what the person is like, or you're not seeing then that underneath, it's like the swan, isn't it? You see the swan as it glides past. You think, oh, there's something more beautiful than the swan. But of course, you've got to remember, underneath the water, those legs are going very quickly, aren't they? And there's a lot of activity that enables a swan to float along so gently and so beautifully as it does. And in a similar way then, if a person really does have this perfect peace that we're talking about, then it's because they're not looking to themselves then, but they're leaning on God. And they're continuing to lean on God. They're not wavering then. Someone, you know, there are people, isn't it? And sometimes we perhaps fall into this where, you know, sometimes we really are trusting in God. Oh, the Lord is everything to us. And then other times we're not, are we? We're wavering. We're in and out. We're back and forth. And this is not a wavering person, then, this person who has perfect peace. But this is somebody then who is always, who is continuing then to lean on God. So this is the connection then. How can I know perfect peace? How can I know this? And you know, we're not just talking about a sort of a calm mind or a serene disposition. We're talking about a real full and a whole peace. How can I know such perfect peace? Well, you can know it if you put all your weight on God. If you want to know perfect peace, if you want to know that objective peace then that comes with God, reconciliation with him. You know, by nature, we're God's enemies. But we can be at peace with him. And of course, not just that objective peace, but that subjective peace then, that peace which transcends all understanding, that guards the hearts and the minds of God's people. Well, well, there's only one way to know that, isn't there? And that is if our minds are steadfast. We need to stick to God and never to turn from Him. In all our thoughts, then, we need to acknowledge God and we need to rely upon God. We need to have Him first and foremost in our thinking. We need to allow our thinking, our minds, then, our imaginations, shaped by Him and by what we read of Him in His Word. So what's the promise? It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? It's a promise of perfect peace, a full and a perfect peace. It's a promise with a condition, and that condition then is that God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, has got that support, who's knowing the everlasting arms underneath. And so what reason is given then, thirdly, for connecting peace and steadfastness? Now, the whole verse, verse 3, is you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. This is the reason then that lies behind it. A steadfast mind then, a mind that is leaning on God. Well, that betrays for us then a person who's putting his trust in God. A person who's making God his refuge. If I'm going to sit down, isn't it? Well, if I'm sensible, I'm going to think about where I'm going to sit down, isn't it? If I'm out in the garden and there's one of these old canvas chairs, garden chairs, isn't it? You know, and the canvas gets rotten, and it may look okay, but you put your weight on it, you'll go straight through. Or if it's one of these plastic garden chairs, and the plastic, I know it's been out in the sun or something, it's got rather brittle. It's not going to hold your weight, is it? Whereas nice dining room chair or a sofa in the front room, something like that, you know then you can put your weight, that you can put your weight on it. Or if you're going to lean on something. I don't often lean on this. You're not supposed to, if any of you do speak in public, you're not supposed to do all that, are you? You're not supposed to lean. But it'll take my weight, isn't it? This table will take my weight. But there are other things, isn't it? Sometimes you make a mistake, isn't it? You go to lean on something and you suddenly realize that it's not going to hold your weight. And so you need to lean on something that's going to hold your weight. And what you're doing there is you're putting your trust. You're putting your trust in it. That's what you're doing. I'm putting my trust in this table. I don't think it's a great act of recklessness to lean on this table, is it? It'll hold me up. It'll hold me up. But I'm putting my trust in it. That's what I'm doing. I'm putting my faith in the table to hold me up. Now, in a similar way, then, if I'm going to be steadfast in my mind, then, if I'm going to lean on God, then I'm going to have to trust Him. I'm going to have to believe that's going to work, isn't it? That I must believe, of course, first of all, that there is a God, but I must also believe that He's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. I must believe that although I can't see Him, although I can't sense Him in the way I may sense other things, that I've got to believe then that he will help me, that he will give me the strength that I need to do the things that He commands. And in fact, there's no other way then of going about it, is it? You can't, if you don't trust in God, then you can't be steadfast. You can't rely on God. You can't lean upon God unless you first of all trust in Him. And so the very promise itself, all the way through, is calling for faith. That's what it's about, isn't it? If I don't believe that it's possible to find perfect peace, well, then I'm never going to find that perfect peace. And you meet people like that. And they're quite convinced for one reason or another that it is impossible to know what we're talking about. That's not possible, they say. Well, if you don't believe that it's possible, You're not going to make any progress at all. If you're not convinced that the way to perfect peace is by means of a steadfast mind, a mind that depends entirely on God, well, then you're going to be disinclined to trust in God, aren't you? There's going to be no willingness to cast yourself upon Him. And if you think that trusting in God is not the way to perfect peace, that's not going to lead to perfect peace, well, then you're going to lack that steadfast mind, aren't you? And you're not going to know that perfect peace. So I think what we need to do is we need to believe the word of God. And we've got every reason to believe the word of God, haven't we? You only have to read it to see that it's a word that we can trust. Well, it does speak about perfect peace. And it does say that it's the one whose mind is steadfast who can know that perfect peace. And it's by trusting in God that comes about. So what we need to do then is to convince ourselves of these things. We need to ask ourselves seriously, say, well, do I believe in such a thing as perfect peace? You may be here this morning and you think, well, I like that idea of peace. Yeah, I could see that. But perfect peace? Are you serious? It's possible to find perfect peace in this world? Perhaps there's a certain skepticism. What are you going to say? Well, where is that coming from? What's caused that? Why don't you believe then what it actually says in the Word of God when it talks about this perfect peace? And if it's a matter of leaning on God, you know, some of us are very independently minded. We like to rely on ourselves. We don't like to rely on other people. Perhaps you've been let down by other people in the past. And the whole idea then of putting your trust in and your confidence in someone else, perhaps that's the problem. I think we've got to think about it, isn't it? What's holding me back? What's doing it? Because we're never going to find perfect peace unless we do what this verse says. So we need to convince ourselves of these things. And of course, it's from the Word that we can learn about God. We read at the beginning how He created the world. We learn how He chose Abraham. And He made those great promises to Abraham. And how He's worked then to form a people for Himself, that they would have their own language and their own land and their own culture and their own laws, so that then into that people would be born the Messiah, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly that those final years of ministry, the great miracles He did, the wonderful preaching, and the way they took Him then and put Him to death on the cross, and it all seemed as though the whole thing then had just gone wrong and had ground to a halt. And yet on the third day, He rose again from the dead, because He didn't die, did He, for His own sins? He died for the sins of people like you and me, who are seeking after perfect peace. And we can find it in Him, because we lean on Him and we trust in Him. And so we need to get to know what the Word of God says. And we can learn, of course, not just from the Word of God, but you can talk to Christians, can't you? You say, well, you seem to be at peace in many ways, and no doubt they'll say to you, oh, you know, sometimes I feel very churned up and I don't feel quite as peaceful as I ought to. And they will explain to you what perfect peace is really like. It's not that sort of sailing, calm motion, but it is that confidence in God and that assurance that they're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever. And you can learn from them, as you can learn from church history. You know, people are always saying there's no future for the church, and it's all outdated and old-fashioned and about to go, and they're always persecuting and opposing the church. And when you think of all the opposition that there's been, and yet to this day, people continue to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. People continue to lean upon God. They continue to have that perfect peace there, which this verse speaks about. And you've got to think about those things, haven't you? And I'm sure you will see then what a really wonderful promise this is. Perfect peace is possible. It is possible. It comes through a steadfast mind. And to have such a mind is to act in faith. That's what it's about. It's to put your trust in the Lord. So there's the promise, first of all. Wonderful promise there. The promise is of perfect peace. It's it comes then by being steadfast, then, by having a mind set on God. And it's a matter then of trusting in him. And then after the promise, you've got a command, isn't it? You very often get promises and commands together like this. So, Isaiah 26 verse 3, the promise, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. And then, Isaiah 26 verse 4, the command, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. And it follows on, doesn't it? So, what are we told to do? We'll be much more brief on this. What are we told to do? We're told to trust in the Lord. Now, when you see the word Lord in capitals like that, in most Bibles anyway, that's God's name. And I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Yahweh, or exactly how we say it. But it's the true God, the covenant God, the God who made the world, the God who saved the people of Israel, the God who sends Messiah, the God revealed in the New Testament, then as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the God we're talking about. And I suppose it's obvious, isn't it? We've got to trust in the Lord, isn't it? If what's said in verse 3 then is so, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you, then obviously, what have we got to do? We've got to trust in the Lord. It follows on. More literally, I suppose you could translate what Isaiah says here as a mind supported. You keep in perfect peace, for in you it trusts. That's really where the verse ends. It trusts. That's what it does. And so then immediately after that, you have the word trust. It trusts. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. Given that it is the person whose mind is steadfast then, that God will keep in perfect peace. That is because he trusts in God. Well, clearly, this is the thing to do then, isn't it? To put your trust in the Lord. To believe in him. To put your confidence in him, to lean on him, if you want to use that picture language. And so the obvious question once again this morning is, have you put your faith in the Lord? Some of you, I know nearly all of you, some of you, I know, you say, well, yes, I've trusted in the Lord. And you've been baptized and you're members of the church and you've shown your faith in that way. Others of you then, you haven't taken that step, and the reason you haven't taken that step is because you don't feel as though you do trust in the Lord. Now there are sort of variations from those aren't the only examples, but the vital thing is that every one of us then should trust in the Lord, should put their faith in God. I want to urge you to that this morning. And then we could ask the question, secondly, for how long are we to trust in the Lord? Because it's very interesting, isn't it? It doesn't just say trust in the Lord, does it? I mean, I suppose acceptable and would make perfect sense if it simply said, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord. For the Lord is the rock eternal. But of course it says trust in the Lord forever. Trust in the Lord forever. It's to be a continuous thing. It isn't to come in fits and starts, then it is to go on. It's to be like a river then, isn't it? Flowing, that peace. We're to begin with faith, and then we're to go on in faith. You know, it's not, you know, some people think this, you know, you start, you've got to believe in the beginning, and then it's all down to you. Well, no, you begin with faith, and you go on in faith. It's faith all the way then, trusting all the way. And so my message to you this morning, if you're not a Christian, or if you're not sure if you're a Christian, then my message is to trust in the Lord, isn't it? To put your faith in him. Trust in him. Turn from your sins and trust in the Lord. But if you are a Christian, or at least if you think you're a Christian, I'm saying, well, having trusted in the Lord, go on trusting in the Lord. Go on trusting in the living God. Go on leaning on him. Keep on keeping on, we might put it that way. How do you win a race? Well, obviously you've got to make a good start, isn't it? You've got to get running there at the beginning. But then, you know, you've got to carry on running. And you've got to actually run right to the very end. You know, you've seen races where the man falls down just before he gets to the finishing line. Something happens, he can't get there. Well, you never win a race that way. You only win the race then if you carry on running, if you keep going. How do you get a job completed? We can all think of half-finished jobs, things that never did get finished. Well, why didn't they get finished? Well, because you didn't carry on to the end. We've got to go on then. We've got to go on trusting in the Lord. So if you've begun to trust in the Lord, if you haven't begun to trust in the Lord, I want to urge you to it. It's the way to perfect peace, isn't it? And if you have begun to trust in the Lord, I want you to go on doing that, not to give up. And then the final thing is, what reason is given then for trusting in the Lord? A reason is given, isn't it? Besides the obvious one, that it leads to perfect peace, it also says, doesn't it, for the Lord is the rock eternal. And I would guess the repetition of the word Lord then is intended to point out the fact that he's the Lord who's been revealed then, isn't he? This is not some sort of vague idea of God, but the God who we read about in the Word, the Lord. The Lord then, who has been revealed, the one who is full of love and compassion. He is the rock, immovable, unchanging. He is the one then on whom you can always, always rely. He's the eternal rock. He's the rock of ages. We know that phrase, don't we? He's the one then who's a place of refuge forever and forever. And so I'm saying to you this morning, cling to him. Make him your hope and your confidence. How can I find perfect peace? Well, it's very simple, isn't it? It's in God, isn't it? It's in the rock eternal there. If we lean on him, if we hide in him, if we put everything on him. And we have to do that. There's no peace outside him, is there? There's an apparent peace, of course. A peace that is short-lived, but real peace, lasting peace, perfect peace. You'll only find it in God. You'll only find it in him. Remember how at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus tells this story, doesn't he? It's these two men. They're both building houses, and I suppose the men looked similar. The houses looked similar, but there was that one vital difference, wasn't there? The one house was built on sand, and the other house was built on rock. And for a while, it didn't make any difference. They both went on with their business, and you could hardly tell a difference between those two men and their two houses. But then the storm came. Then the floods came. And you remember that it was the house on the sand that fell flat to the ground. It just had no foundation. It couldn't last. It was washed away by that terrible flood. The house on the rock, on the other hand, that house stood firm. And of course Jesus told that story because those who build their lives on Jesus Christ and on what he teaches, well, they're like people who've built their house on the rock, aren't they? There's going to be a storm, isn't there? We're all going to have to face troubles. And in the end, we're going to have to face death, isn't there? There's no escape from that. We're all going to have to die. We're all going to have to face death and then the judgment, isn't it? We stand before God to be judged. And it's like a great storm coming. And if we've built on the sand, then, if we just build on ourselves or on some philosophy that we've discovered, then our lives are going to be devastated. We're going to be washed away by the great flood of God's judgment. But if we're building on the rock, then, on the eternal rock, the rock of ages, as the top lady puts it, the rock of ages, cleft, broken there on the cross for me. If we're trusting in the rock of ages, if we say then, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling, well then we have a hope, haven't we? Then we have a future. But otherwise, there's no future for us whatsoever. So that's how we must build our lives, because very soon the judgment will come. And who will stand at that time? May God keep you in perfect peace. Amen.